tradition started by Davey Davidson in his chairmanship, and we're delighted to continue it today with Harriet Loweth. Harriet.
This is my Carolina story. The road that leads you away leads you home again. I wish I'd been the first one in this room that said that line. Someone said it last year at a GAA event, and I sat and I thought, that's my line. Why did you say that? Because you see, the last 4 years that I was at Chapel Hill, junior and senior years and the first 2 years of graduate school, the alumni house was my home. The alumni staff were my home away from home family. Order the Bell Tower, affectionately OBT, was birthed October 1980. I was the charter vice president and first elected president of the organization. I handed it to Laurie Norman, who handed it to my brother, Perry Morrison. But that's 1980 to 84. Let me go back to the beginning. I was born in 1960 in Wilson, North Carolina. I grew up in a Carolina blue family in a Carolina blue town. Although we did not come to Chapel Hill frequently, we followed Carolina sports, and we named our dog Tar Heel. My father, Brame, was class of 37 and later received his pharmacy designation. He took over our family's drugstore from my grandfather. My uncle, Stuart Morrison, was class of 32, a chemistry major who went on to be a principal in Shaw Industries. The conversations at my house when I began to look at colleges went like this. Though Carolina was a given interest, my mother, having attended Mary Washington College, an all-girls school, for a year or two, and then ECTC, also primarily female during World War II, tried, "How about Peace or Meredith?" To which I replied, rolling my eyes, "Mom, there are no boys at Peace and Meredith." In 1976, however, a very sobering situation affected my ability to attend college at all. My family had owned Morrison's Drugstore in Wilson since 1922. In 1976, with the rise of corporate drugstores like Car Drug and Eckerd's, my father sold his business, and there simply was no money for college. Parents did not have college savings accounts in those days, or at least mine didn't. My dad had even cleaned out my passbook account to help make ends meet. Fortunately, I was a very good student. I applied to several in-state schools, including the, I believe I've heard it called in this room, gravel pit up the road, always hoping for a scholarship somewhere. But my heart and my hopes were Carolina Blue. I was nominated for a Morehead Scholarship, but they didn't quite understand that ballet was my sport. Wasn't the Four Corners play kind of like ballet when you're watching it? Eventually, my financial aid application and transcript found its way to Eleanor Morris' desk. Thankfully, and to the great relief of my parents, I was awarded a James M. Johnston Scholarship, which paid nearly all of my expenses all 4 years. I started college in 1978. It seems appropriate to spend a minute mentioning the generational shift that had occurred in the mid-70s. I was too young to remember the Kennedy assassination. I knew more about Iran than I did about Vietnam. I turned 16 during the year of the bicentennial. Jimmy Carter was president. There were no hippies. Preppies was in, epitomized for girls by Dean sweaters, ribbon belts, and big out-of-gold beads. We dressed up for... Do you have any? We dressed up for football games. We listened to nonstop beach music and talked about boys safely in our girls' dorm. The drinking age was 18. I lived in Spencer. I was in the honors program and a political science and economics double major. I pledged Alpha Chi my junior year, but mostly those first years I wandered around going to class, Experience Carolina, and sowing some wild oats because I was a really good student at home before I got here. So it was a big world from Wilson, North Carolina. There were plenty of pictures of the wild oats because by that time there were photographers everywhere and you could purchase photos with the event and the date at the bottom, which is a nice touch now because I'm of the age to forget without that picture and the name and the date. I spent time in my dorm in class at various mixers, at the Union on Franklin Street, dancing at Crazy Zach's and Purdy's, eating at Spanky's, the Waffle Shop, Four Corners, Hector's. By the way, I was the one that said that sometimes I still had a craving for Hector's Greek grilled cheese on the enrichment committee meeting, and the porthole, when I wasn't cooking on a hot pot in my room, which was most of the time because, remember, I was a scholarship student. I did focus on the poli sci and economics for a while, working a summer on Capitol Hill and another summer for the Department of Agriculture in Raleigh. My honors thesis was on migrant labor in North Carolina. My advisor for that was Tad Bile, who I saw for the first time last night since 1982. Two pivotal events occurred my junior year. Neither had anything to do with my studies, everything to do with the direction that my life would take. One day in October 1980, a friend said, "Come with me to a meeting. Bob Saunders is doing this thing." And I knew and liked Bob, who was then student body president. And so I did. And in going to that meeting, I found my calling at UNC, the door to my future, though I didn't know it at the time. The nature of this was that the meeting room was full of students who already had too much to do. The charter list for the then unnamed group was a veritable who's who on campus. They liked the idea of a student alumni association, which was the subject of the meeting, though they weren't really sure what it was. Most of us already had our various passions. I, in fact, was working on a friend's campaign for student body president that winter and spring and anticipating a student government position. The second pivotal event was that Joe Buckner lost that race for student body president to Scott Norberg by a nail-biting, very small margin. You remember that, too. Leaving a team of individuals, including me, free to become the working nucleus of the new order of the Bell Tower. The first elected officers were me, Laurie Norman, David Leventhal, and Sharon Lawrence. And yes, that's the Sharon Lawrence of TV fame. Startups, if you're lucky, are exciting, and this one was. We were blazing new trails locally and nationally because there really weren't that many student alumni associations at the time. I want to share a draft of a letter I wrote for my OBT archives, and I shared this letter at the OBT reunion that morning, and I brought the text. I didn't bring the actual letter to hold up on display. But it may have been a letter to the Daily Tar Heel because it begins, "To the students of Carolina, the Order of the Bell Tower is the newest and fastest growing honorary and service organization on campus. Sometimes known as the Student Alumni Association, the Order of the Bell Tower serves as a link between alumni and students at the university. Only 3 months old," so this really was written, December of 80 or January of 81, "as it is affectionately known, is far ahead of many clubs on campus in that it has 58 charter members, a constitution, and an office in the alumni house. We've already held a fundraising service project in which we cleared $2,500, putting together and delivering exam survival kits, and we were able to send 4 members to the Blue Bonnet Bowl, hosting alumni on the trip on the bus, and I was one of those that got to go. Some of our activities include sponsoring the freshman register, holding workshops on what it's like to be in college at NC high schools, attending alumni receptions and serving as host and hostesses at alumni events and at meetings held on campus, such as that of the NC Press Association. We also have our own service and social activities." This was really, it was a handwritten speech on a piece of notebook paper, and I don't know what happened to page 2. So regrettably, that's it. But the rest of the draft would have been much of the same. I bring it up because if you look at what the Order of the Bell Tower does now, 30 years later, it's very clear that it's still the same organization. I had a new family at the Alumni House. Their names were Clarence and Beau and Jean and Stan and Lydibet and Ann and Alice and Chris and Judy and Ruth and Jane and Roland and, of course, Spike, to name a few. I pretty much lived there in the house next to the Carolina Inn. Just in case you're wondering, I didn't leave Doug off this list. He wasn't here yet, though he would arrive summer of 1982. I had a new circle of friends, some of whom would be lifelong. I have to digress just one second to throw in that my boyfriend, who was also OBT, was a basketball usher. So this lucky girl had seats in Carmichael behind the 1982 championship team. Every game, home game. Of course, we didn't sit in those seats we had, we stood. I was also a member of the GAA Board of Directors, and I hung out with adults named Ray and David and Pepper and Charlie and Raleigh. I worked in the Chancellor's Box and mingled with important Tar Heels named Christopher and Farabee and Lyle, though of course I knew to address each one of them as Chancellor. I traveled for the university around the state to talk to clubs, to talk about to alumni about what it was like to be a current student. I rode on the bus with the alumni to the Blue Bonnet Bowl, as I mentioned. I attended regional and national case conferences for student alumni associations. By saying yes to a chance, come with me to a meeting, I had my first real taste of leadership, as well as the thrill of having a passion for an organization and a place. For that passion and service, the GAA acknowledged me as a member of the Bell Tower Society in 1982. I want to digress again from my story for just a minute and talk about the importance of scholarship. Frankly, we don't know if I would have been here at all without the Johnston, but without Carolina's full support, I would not have had the experiences of this story. My uncle, I mentioned him earlier, he was a 1932 grad. In 1984, created two scholarship funds, one in my name and one in my brother's, in appreciation and recognition. Each of those funds helped support several students every year. Separately, my brother and I, after our mother died August 2009, created a college scholarship fund in her name, and these are my brother's words. We thought that if we could give someone who was financially disadvantaged a chance that it would make a difference in their lives, our experience at Chapel Hill really changed our lives. He said it was self-affirming, eye-opening, broadening. Returning to my story, let's talk about the doors that were opened for me by the GAA. Order of the Bell Tower led me to two summer jobs in the Office of Development and gave me the connections and display of initiative needed to be admitted straight out of undergraduate school to Carolina's MBA program. The only other student who did that year was my classmate, former alumni board member Craig Holt. But I have to say now, in hindsight, had I not been admitted, and this is somewhat an important realization here, I think, I'm confident that my Carolina family would have opened doors in another way. On my MBA application, I expressed a belief that not-for-profit management was about to become significantly more sophisticated, and it did, and I wanted the MBA training, hoping to apply it in that area. Well, it didn't exactly turn out that way. Never does. Upon graduation, I took the for-profit route to Procter & Gamble, a marketing experience that there simply is no substitute for. Though I began my training in Cincinnati on established brands, I was eventually and randomly assigned to new product startups, and then moved to RJR Nabisco, overseeing all new product launches for the Planners and Lifesavers brands at age 27. Along the way, I married moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, started a family, and concurrently started a children's museum. Finally, I had gotten back to the nonprofit goal, and I spent 10 years growing that organization. See the entrepreneurial trend it took me years to see. The road that leads you away leads you home again. In October 2007, 25 years after graduation, I'm driving near Wrightsville Beach, and I get a cell phone call from Doug Dibbert. This call comes very much out of the blue, no pun intended, as truthfully, I've had very little contact with Chapel Hill during these years. How does he even know my cell number? I wondered. Of all the things I expected to hear, "We want to put your name on the ballot for the board," was not one of them. "The board?" I asked in disbelief. "Is my membership current?" "I couldn't put your name on the ballot unless it was, Harriet." My family was clearly delighted with this turn of events, and my children, then 14 and 11, immediately started wearing Carolina blue. Gratefully, I won the election, and I was given the chance, perhaps the push, to come home. The timing was remarkable. My life was at a crossroads. I was 49. I'd recently left the board of the Children's Museum, which had been my passion for so many years. My children were in middle and high school, and my mother was dying. And a call comes from the GAA, reopening a door to a place that for me was once family. You know, relatively, this board is a very small percentage of all alumni. And yet, being here, I've crossed paths with people I've known already throughout my life. I grew up with Eloise Hassel, and our families are very close. In fact, Eloise told me something about my dad at Carolina this morning that I'm sure I once knew, but I had forgotten it, and that was that one of the things that my dad did when he was here was he ran cross country. My dad is about... He's no taller than me right now with heels on. He was the jackrabbit?
Jackrabbit.
He was the jackrabbit on the team. My growing up friend is the one who has to remind me of that, so I'm accurate in that we've known one another a very long time. I went to governor's school with Teresa Artis. Eleanor Morris oversaw my scholarship to Chapel Hill, and in fact, we share a birthday. I attended UNC at the same time as Teresa, Albert Avery, and Craig Holt, who I mentioned earlier, who's recently left the board. I met Doug Dibbert when he first arrived. I went to business school with Craig Holt, and I was on the Children's Museum board with former GAA board member Alan Cobb. And then there's Order of the Bell Tower, celebrating its 30th anniversary. For me, there's a strong element of pride that it still exists. And I want to express my appreciation to the Alumni Association for continuing to nurture what we started in 1980. Startups, if done right, sustain. How many people get to rewalk the walk and see the fruition of labor done more than a quarter of a century earlier and still recognize it? The spirit of OBT is the same. An infectious passion for Carolina. It's extraordinary. The students still brim with enthusiasm, still represent the university, still host football games, and mingle with important alumni in the chancellor's box. The sophistication in alumni association management I expected when applying to business school in 1982 occurred. And what I see today is beyond anyone's dreams at that time. I want to take the opportunity to congratulate Doug and his staff for ably managing that growth. It's been my absolute delight to come back and observe and participate and see all that you've accomplished. The road that leads you away leads you home again. Being on the GAA board for the second time has been like coming home. It's been a place I recognized, a place of comfort during a time of transition, a place to use my mind and my skills, a place to give a little something back to the GAA, a place to ponder the next door. It's been a place to remember who I am. I'm from Wilson. I'm a Tar Heel born. All of my education, from first grade to graduate school, was funded by the state of North Carolina. I'm a Tar Heel bred. You know where I'm going with this. I'll be 51 years old on Monday and hope that I'll live to be 100. But when I die, I'll be a Tar Heel dead. Thanks for the chance to share my story. Hark the sound.